720 WGN, Dame Neal in until 5 o'clock for Nick DiGilio. One of the fun things that we've been doing is talking about some of, I guess, really our biggest stars, right, that are out there in the world selling us products, very memorable ads that everybody kind of can recall either from their childhood or originally. And, of course, you can still add yours, 312-981-7200 until the end of the program for Lou Malnati's Pizza. Just to catch up with a couple people have added during the break, 773, Jim Moran, the courtesy man here in Chicago, of course, I don't want to say salesman, but dealers. I mean, everybody remembers, you know, the whole like Fencil Tufo or Solozzi Edelson with you always saving more money. So sometimes those are our biggest stars. The Empire Carpet Man, I wonder if he had a name. Was he like Carpet Carl? If people know that, definitely let us know. Tim in Skokie, Juan Belfry, the Coffee Man. Maybe that was a personal favorite. Carol from 312, Brooke Shields. Yep, with Calvin Klein's. That was, I mean, those were some iconic ads, kind of launched her into stardom in her her acting career. And then Joe Isuzu, and I remember the lying guy, and that was from the 563. So again, another car person kind of being the ambassador for their products. Well, when it comes to bourbon, there is a guy that is with us now that is an ambassador for it. When it comes to bourbon and, you know, America's spirit, Angel's Envy is the name of the spirit. He'd probably say he would let the bourbon itself do the talking, but he's going to do a little bit of that with us. Now, Wes Henderson, welcome to WGN.
Glad to be here, Dane. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, such is the responsibility that you have, right? It's so heavy. It's a burden on your shoulders that you get to be this guy that travels the country, carrying the torch and sharing just the general awesomeness of Angel's Envy.
It's a horrible job that I have to fly all over the world, pouring bourbon for people, having dinner, shaking hands, signing bottles. It's dreadful, but honestly, it's amazing, and I'm very blessed to be able to do it. I meet some wonderful people.
Well, it's great when you can share something not only that you helped create, that you are one of the inspirations for, but that also is very, very good. I mean, so what is it like to get that kind of feedback from people all over the country, all over the world, when you get to say, hey, why don't you try this? I think you'll like it.
It's very affirming. I mean, we work hard. We work long hours. We worked very hard as a family and sacrificed a lot to bring this brand to market. And to get that affirmation when you're out visiting with people makes my job even more wonderful. And it really serves as an inspiration to continue to create, to continue to innovate and bring new things to market, hopefully.
Well, on the bourbon side, and bourbon is one of those truly and uniquely American spirits, right? There's so much that's been around for so many years around the world, and certainly we do our own spin on those things here in America and do it at a very high level. But when it comes to bourbon, and you brought up the family, not only is it kind of America's hometown spirit, but also you're kind of the hometown team, right? I mean, your family has a great history with it.
We do. I was blessed, once again, I use that word a lot, blessed, to be born into a family where my father was one of the top bourbon experts in the world for 40-some-odd years. And at the very beginning, though, I really didn't understand that and probably didn't appreciate it. But finally, as I got older and Dad really found his place in history, it started to be significant to me. And it got me thinking about, you know, where does the next generation come into play? You know, how do we fit into this? And how do we continue the heritage that my father created?
And, of course, Lincoln Henderson is your dad and so important to Woodford Reserve, to Jack Daniels. I mean, so many fans out there and so many fans of those particular and signature tastes. For Angel's Envy, some of the things that you guys are known for is the finishing that you guys do with the port barrel finishing or the rum barrel finishing. I mean, it gives it like a taste pretty much like no other as far as the bourbon world.
It's very different, and that's one of the things that I discussed with Dad in bringing him out of retirement was, Dad, we want to take a look at things that maybe you experimented with over the years that you enjoyed that were very different but never really saw the light of day. And we kept coming back to secondary barrel finishes. We came back to port barrel finishes. We came back to other fortified wines. And that was really the basis of starting the company was to go back and do things that people had not done before. And Angel's Envy has really gotten the reputation for being the first bourbon that successfully has done secondary barrel finishes.
Great stuff here in Chicago. Of course, saw you at South Beach. That was awesome. Got to see kind of a collection of so many great brands. And there was a warm reception for you there as one of kind of the team photo of stars in the spirits in the bourbon world. But when you come to Chicago, you're going to be here doing a dinner where you're going to bring in people, kind of share what it is you're going to do. match it with some of the great foods that we have here. And then you'll be back in April as well for another one. So as you travel and you look at the way that Angels Envy and the spirits and the things that you do fit with kind of the landscape of that particular community that you're in, where does Chicago come up?
I think Chicago is very significant, especially in the mixology community. And we also have a marketing office here. So we have an office and a presence in Chicago. So we have people that live here. And that's very important for us, not just to invest in Chicago because it's a great spirits market, but to invest here because we have people here and we have a market presence. So it goes without saying the food scene here is phenomenal. Spirit scene is right along with it. And typically where you have a good food scene, you'll have a good spirit scene. And, you know, and it's close to Louisville, too. It's an hour flight. I love to come here. It's one of my favorite cities.
Well, we love to have you. Now, when it comes to making the stuff, it's second to none as far as just the process, and you've got to have this dedication to quality and that dedication to the process. And so it's a good problem to have, I guess, right? But the demand is always much higher than what you're able to produce. So how do you address that? When people, you know, as a company, people think you want to make widgets, you want people to want the widgets, and you want to sell all the widgets you can. It just doesn't work that way with you guys.
It really doesn't. And anybody that says they can predict where the bourbon business is now 10 years ago is insane, because you couldn't have. There's just no way you could project the explosive growth. So what you've got to do, you've just got to predict a normal growth pattern over a number of years. And, I mean, your fingers are crossed. You hope that you'll have that explosion. But we could probably sell as much bourbon as we can make right now, and that's why we're building a new distillery. So, you know, it's a good problem to have. Everybody in the industry has the same issue right now, and that there's far more demand than there is supply. So, you know, we just plug away every day and do the best we can and hope to start producing more.
Well, as long as you keep producing it, people keep wanting it. As long as you come out to different communities, of course, here in Chicago, and keep sharing it, people will keep wanting it. But, you know, once you get the new distillery, and people are always looking for more things, they think, Wes, hey, how the bourbon thing's great, but maybe we'll try a vodka, or maybe we'll try a gin, maybe we'll try some other things. And I guess you're always looking for new things to try.
We are, and that's really my job within the company, is to take a look at new things and trends in the industry. And there are green fields ahead for the bourbon industry, and not just bourbons, but whiskeys in general. The demographics are increasing. We're bringing younger drinkers to the table to drink bourbon.
Within moderation.
Well, of course, within moderation and at the appropriate age. And a lot of women are starting to drink bourbon now, which was not the case 5 years ago. Right. So we've got our demographic is increasing, and we think there's a lot of room for growth there. But I futz around with a lot of different stuff in the lab. You'd be surprised all the different experiments that we have going on. And you know, some of them we just tuck away and wait for a rainy day, and who knows?
Well, you know, you've got lots of fans, as far as not only fans just in the drinking community, but also just fans out there, you know, in the world, in the entertainment community, lots of fans of the brands. We've certainly talked about some of those as well. And so bourbon is, of course, kind of the family legacy, and you've definitely done that and done it at a high level. But when it comes to trying around, you know, some of those other things in the lab, like what other spirits are you personally, you know, fan of and fond of that you're going to try to put your spin on someday?
You know, I'm interested in a lot of different things. I like world blends. I like whiskeys from around the world. I'm taking a look at some of those things and maybe incorporating those into some things we're doing. Other spirits, you know, I'm a fan of spirits in general. You know, I think it's just a matter of seeing where it fits into the Angels Envy portfolio and whether or not it's an Angels Envy brand or whether maybe it's a brand that we'll launch at the distillery that may be under the Louisville Distilling Company. It may not have Angels Envy on it. So, and that opens up a multitude of things we can do and a multitude of different spirits we can play around with.
It's going to be exciting to see kind of what's in the future for you, for Louisville Distillery, for Angels Envy, and for all of those things as well. So last thing, when you come to Chicago, of course, you've got the difficult work of being over at Union Station, sushi and barbecue, and sharing some of Angels Envy's with some fans there, and then some of the other dinners. But when you get to town, what else do you like to do?
You know, they drag me around everywhere.
Who's which is they?
My marketing people and my brand people in the market who are phenomenal, by the way. And it's not unusual for me. Chicago's one of those cities, for some reason, I don't get in bed at 11 o'clock. It's a 2 or 3 in the morning thing. And often we'll eat breakfast somewhere. We'll end up with breakfast at 3 in the morning. So we're stopping by, you know, all of our accounts that we can every time we're in town. And I see a lot of the same people every time. I love to go down to Revolution Brewery. I like to go down to Rocks. You know, that's another great account of ours. And there are too many to mention, but that's my job. And I know it's the cross I bear to visit all these wonderful places.
When you get up, and now you just made me think of something. Chicago just passed, I guess, another probably great town to become, at least the second town next to Portland, which is a much smaller town per capita, with the amount of craft breweries that are located here within the city limits. You mentioned Revolution, you know, one of in the team photo of hometown pride on the beer side. Do you guys get together, you know, when you get a chance to talk to someone like Jason over there or some of the other people that have done things and are really making their mark in this time when there is so much explosive interest and growth in all things libation? And you guys get together and say, like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we do. And I think that this craft spirits industry is probably in the space where craft brewing was maybe 10 years ago.
I agree with you.
We're at the infancy of our curve, and we do a lot of stuff with brewers. They like our barrels. If I strike up a friendship with a brewery, it's not uncommon for me to give them some of our ex-bourbon barrels to create beer with as well. And those partnerships are very nice. And as a whole, I love the beer guys because, you know, despite the fact most of them are unshaven, they
wear a lot of plaid,
they
too.
They wear a lot of plaid, but God bless them. It's an amazing group of people. And, you know, we kind of see things the same way.
Well, we're lucky that we're seeing the things the same way by seeing you here in Chicago. And, of course, next time you get into town, we'll have to go and see the mighty resurgent Cubs. It would be awesome as they have stepped up their food and beverage game to see Angels Envy have a presence at Wrigley Field as well.
That would be nice. We're seeing that in some ballparks in St. Louis, in the ballpark in St. Louis. There is a craft bar on one of the concourses, and Angels Envy is a big part of that.
Nice.
It's lined up for every time I go there. You would not believe the lines of people there. Something they might want to take a cue at doing here.
I believe it. For those people that want to get a hold of Angels Envy when they can and where they can, where's the best place to get all the information and all things about everything you're doing?
AngelsEnvy.com is our website. Feel free to check there. We post on that very regularly, and there's some wonderful retailers here in town that carry Angels Envy, and certainly we're available pretty much all over town. And you can always reach out to me. My email address is on the website, and I like to hear from people.
He is Wes Henderson, the co-creator and man behind Angels Envy. Thanks so much for being in the studio, and thanks for being on WGN.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.